Monday morning to you. As promised, we're back again live on the WFAC Morning Show. I'm your host, Pastor Burton, and my co-host, Sister Whitney.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you again.
It's good to have you.
It's good
studio.
To be live, right? Like, do you feel alive? Because I don't feel alive.
Not really. No. No.
Okay. Well, it's 8 a.m. and here we are once again in the studios at WFAC Broadcasting, and we hope to have a great show for you here this morning. We did a little promotion and advertise, so we'd like to say early, we haven't been on consistently, but we are on, and please tell your friends and family and all those that love Apostolic Radio, right?
Apostolic Conversation.
Apostolic Conversation. Good. See, what? That's why you're here, to help me along, right? You have to wake up and help me along.
Yeah, I know. Coffee.
I know. You'll be awake by the end. You'll be laughing your head off.
I will, because I have some great stories today.
Okay, well, we want to remind you, first of all, that this morning's show is brought to you by 74 Ties, 74ties.com, or on Instagram, 74 Ties, and they are the home of?
The Custom Knot.
Custom Knot. Located in Mount Vernon, Illinois. If you're over that way, stop by and see them. Have some great clothes. Men's suits, boys' suits, white shirts, ties, hats. This is not my part of the commercial. This is your part.
Yeah. Right?
You're
tuxedos
late.
And more, something
tuxedos
or other.
And more, yeah. And if you mention 74 Ties, if you mention WFAC Radio June 21, you get 10% off of your order at 74 Ties. Either put that in the comments on an online order, or if you're calling them personally, please mention the radio station. They're good friends of ours, and you'll enjoy their clothes, especially if you're a man. I don't know if you would necessarily enjoy it if you're...
Yeah, I don't think they have anything for women yet.
I think they're working on that.
Yeah.
I think they're working on that. That's kind of a long-term project. 74 Ruffles, I think, is what's coming up. So welcome to the WFAC Morning Show. We're going to talk about some things and have a good time, laugh, cut up, and also bring you some news. President Trump is back on the campaign trail.
Real?
Well, that's not what they're calling it, but yeah, we'll talk. You didn't hear about that?
I mean, I heard he did a campaign, but I thought he's been doing like campaigns the entire time he's been out of office.
You mean a rally?
Rally.
Yeah.
That's what I meant, yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
He did a rally.
Educate me.
Yeah. He did a rally on Saturday night. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's hear a song. Just heard this song first time this morning when I got up getting ready, and I thought it was good. So we're going to play it back for you. I don't know. It's new to me. Is that good enough?
That works.
Okay, here we go. This is Rodney Bryan and CCMC, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Hey, hey. are listening to WFAC, your apostolic home for worship and preaching, WFACradio.com.
And welcome back here to the WFAC Morning Show. Thank you for joining us. Man, I'm stuttering around like Joe Biden already. Okay, so let's talk about President Trump being back on the campaign trail.
Okay.
Saturday night, he did a rally. I listened to some of it. So I'm going to be honest, because that's what we always do, right? I was a little bit nonplussed. I love President Trump. I'm grateful for that, whatever. But, you know, I guess I'm like everybody else. The storyline needs to be fresh, because for the first 10, 15 minutes, I finally shut it off. He just talked about, you know, the border being open, which everybody knows. And I'm not opposed to him talking about it. It's just, I guess, the whole thing of politics, he can't do anything.
Yeah.
And so just to think we have to listen to that for the next 4 years. Hey, the border's broken. Yes, we know you fixed it. We know they broke it. You know, talking about the relationship with Russia. Yes, we know you fixed it. Yes, we know they broke it. Talking about MS gangs and all that. Yes, we know you fixed it. Yes, we know they broke it. It really puts him in a situation that's not positive, in my opinion, because for 4 years, if that's how the campaign's going to be, it's what happens when deception and deceit become the law of the day, because the election was stolen, right? And now he can't fix it. He can't fix that. He's not powerful enough. It needs to be United States government and the people to fix it. And we're powerless. And so I'm afraid that over the course of 4 years, they're going to run him in the ground saying that, oh, you're just sorry you lost the election. Because even though he's accurate, it sounds like Hillary Clinton after
like
the election.
Of,
yes. And he's not. The things he's saying are true. I believe 100%.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of people that believe it, because there were a lot of people on the ground there. And he was, I think it was 56 minutes late to speak. He was due to speak at 7 and didn't speak till 7:56 or 7:58.
It didn't say why.
You know, I was listening to the commentators, and one of the things that it never dawned on me, but they were saying, oh, his motorcade's here. And then it was a long time before he came out to speak. And I think one of the issues they were saying, when he got out, he was greeting the VIPs backstage. Like Jim Jordan was there, and there was a man, I want to say his last name is Miller. I don't remember his first name. Max Miller from Ohio. He's running for, is that right? He's running for some local something there around Cleveland. So he spoke, and there were other people that spoke. So evidently, President Trump was greeting all those people. And out in the main arena, whatever, man, people waited for a long time, and they were amped up.
Disrespect.
But they weren't, the crowd, at least for the first 10, 15 minutes, they cheered, but they were less than, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. There were some bright moments. And so,
what is he rallying for? Like,
well,
is he going to run?
Well, I think this has to do, Max Miller. Yeah, but he was there to promote Max Miller. Is that what he was doing? Okay.
Gotcha.
So his main goal was, you know, to promote Senate candidates for 2022, congressional candidates for 2022. And it was good. I'm not saying it was good. He said all the things I believe. But I think that if that is the way forward for the next 4 years until a presidential candidate is elected, people are going to, that's not enough energy to keep that going. So again, all the things he said, I believe he fixed it. They broke it. And when I say he fixed it, I'm not attributing it all to him. There was definitely, he had some help, and I mean, in his administration was good, but there were some sloppy things obviously in 4 years. But he's on the attack. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. And he was the same resilient guy that you've seen since 2015, when he announced his candidacy, we're about 6 years.
Right.
So the other thing is, I wonder, 4 years is finished out, he'll be 78. Is that correct? And you wonder if he will have, you know, the stamina to hold office. But if they put Doofus in there, and, you know, Doofus
How old is he? 76.
I think he's 100. Isn't Biden 100? I mean, something like that. No, he looks and acts it, but people think we're making fun. We're not making fun. We're not making fun of the person. We're making fun of the situation. They wanted control of the country so bad that they chose, like, whatever. I guess that was their best option. It lets me know the Democrats and the liberals are in trouble. Option. That's their best option. It's like Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, she lost the, what's that early run, the primary. She lost the primary in her own state. She
we
got like
talked about that.
3% of the vote. I know we're talking about it again because President Trump's on the campaign trail.
No, we talked about, like, is that the best you have?
That's the best they had. That's the best they had, you know? No. I hope that if President Trump doesn't run, and he hasn't said for sure that he will, you know, I think he's a smart guy. I think he's a smart guy. I think that if it gets a couple years and he don't feel like, you know, that it's going to work, he'll promote somebody else. I think he's a smart guy that way. He's a businessman. I think that's why he did so well.
He's also getting older, though. You can tell.
True.
You can tell in, you know how, like, old, I don't want to be disrespectful, but you know how, like, older people, the older you get, you kind of get, like, focused on a subject or
yes.
on whatever you're doing, and you can't let it go.
Yeah.
And that kind of what it, that's what it feels
like. Oh,
to
my.
Me.
You guys, Whitney just, like,
I'm not being disrespectful. It's just that's how it goes.
Well, I mean, the Bible even talks about that, and things really narrow down. And you know what? I mean, to be honest, you've heard me preaching and teaching here in this church, and evidently that's starting to happen to me. But you know, you do. There's two things about that. Number one, not as many things matter in life as we think matter
right.
when we're young.
Right.
Secondarily, is you know there is an impatience of just dealing with all the little stuff that goes on. And you just want to get focused on the things that matter.
And you get set in your ways. I'm not talking,
who are you referring
I'm
to
I'm not
here?
Talking directly about you. I'm
okay.
just saying in general. Like, the older you get set in your ways and you want it done a certain way.
Yeah.
You want it to look, you know, the way you imagine it.
Yeah. You can see that coming down the road, too. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. You have some stories to share with us, and then
yeah.
I'm going to share the story about the women priests.
Oh,
breaking news, okay? Go ahead.
You can talk about the women priests.
Well, no, it's going to take me a minute for setup. You've been setting
well,
up
well, these
for
are just like random things that I found. All right, so staying political, do you remember when Joe Biden came out earlier this year and said something about a goal for July 4th?
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
They're not going to make it.
No, let me
guess what?
Let me
share some breaking news with you, okay? I'm having a barbecue anyway, and I'm not wearing a mask.
Are you social distancing?
I'm not.
White House says it's likely to miss original July 4th vaccination target. The White House said Tuesday that it will likely fall short of President Joe Biden's goal of partially vaccinating 70% of American adults by Independence Day, but insisted that it has succeeded beyond our highest expectations in returning to the nation to a pre-pandemic normalcy. That's a mouthful.
Pre-pandemic normalcy. It's never going back there again because it's a moneymaker. It's a cash cow.
Oh, so like staying on that, I was scrolling through the news and one of the articles said, okay, wait. What drugs to beat COVID and the next pandemic? So they're already planning for another one, round two.
Round two. The
ding,
first
ding,
one
ding.
Was so successful, they're planning for another one. We could talk about the vaccine a little bit on the radio show.
Sure.
Hopefully we won't get canceled, right?
We might.
But, you know, there's a debate raging now about the vaccine. There are three classes of people on this, I've found
okay.
out. Actually, maybe four. Three classes. There is the group that says, I'm absolutely not going to do it. And this is this is right within our ranks. I'm saying people I know. There's a group that says, I'm absolutely not going to do it. There's the group that says, yeah, I'm going to do it. It's no problem. There's the group that says,
I guess
you
know, I'll do it.
I'm on the line, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's a group that says, I'll do it if I have to do it for a specific reason.
Right.
Now, like me, I'm in the group that says, I'm not doing it. I don't care. I don't give a rip, right?
Mm-hmm.
But If I have to do it for international travel, well, then I probably would.
Right.
You know, albeit right now, the numbers are terrifying because the amount of deaths and what do you call that? Incidents, health incidents from the vaccine grow every single day.
Sure.
Every day. I mean, it's up. It's astronomical now, the amount of people. The other number that's growing, I read yesterday, is the amount of people who have had the vaccine and yet had a breakthrough COVID. That's what they called it, a breakthrough COVID event. In other words, they had the vaccine, totally vaccinated, and they got COVID again, breakthrough to the point where they were hospitalized or some other thing happened to them like that.
I don't know all about vaccines, but I do know that a vaccine is the virus directly put into your bloodstream, right?
So
that it can. Okay, so that would make sense.
Yes.
Because after you get a flu vaccine, they will tell you you will normally get sick within the next 2 weeks, but it'll last up to, 6 months to a year?
I don't know. I never had that either.
So that the breakthrough thing is just kind of normal.
Everybody I've ever seen that got the flu shot got the flu.
Yeah.
And then they got the flu the next time.
Right. Oh.
So, again, I've not totally researched the vaccine because I don't care, okay?
Yeah.
Because I think this is all a hoax to begin with. But and in the beginning, I didn't think that. In the beginning, I thought it could be real. I mean, we were talking about the Black Plague. We were talking about, you know, what happened in 1918 and 1818 and whatever. So, but as I've watched the rules change, depending on who's in office and who it is, the whole masking and demasking and unmasking.
They still don't know if you need to mask or if you don't need to mask. I saw something today that said it was live. The story was live. And it said, experts say masks are safe and effective for preventing the spread of COVID-19. Why are we still talking about this? Like, they said it prevented COVID-19 back in March.
Did you read the article where some parents in Florida got together and took their children's masks that they had worn all day?
No.
And sent them off to an independent laboratory to be tested. And those tests came back. Those masks had strep virus on them and everything. I mean, unimaginable. They're making these kids wear them for 8 hours a day.
Schools,
you know,
are like the dirtiest place anyway.
What is telling is that the numbers, statistics don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of deaths, the amount of sicknesses is no different than any other sickness. In fact, some previous things have had much more, a much greater mortality rate, and we didn't respond in kind. And all the things that they're doing, I'm holding quotation marks up, you can't see me, but all the things that they're doing now is not impacting the numbers at all.
Right.
So it'd be nice if we lived in the good old US of A where, you know.
Or Florida.
Or Texas, right?
Wherever you want
to. President Trump's going to the border there, right? You heard about
Texas?
That. Texas? Yeah, Governor Abbott. Did you know Governor Abbott's in a wheelchair?
I don't think I've ever even seen Governor
Well, I Abbott saw a picture. You know, they showed him like this, like his
like
chest.
The top
part? Yeah. And then another time I saw a picture, he's in a wheelchair. So I thought that was pretty awesome. You know.
I know the governor of, I don't know where, one of the Carolinas or Dakotas maybe. He's in a wheelchair.
I don't think it would be South Dakota because that's Kristi Noem.
Hawthorne?
No, he ran for Congress. He's in Congress, yeah. But Governor Abbott invited President Trump to the border since Joe and Kamala can't make it down.
I thought Kamala did go down.
She never went to the border.
Oh, okay.
You have to research that story. Fake news.
Maybe it was just they're wanting her to go down.
No, she went down. She went down to Texas, but she didn't go
to the border.
Yeah, fake news.
Fake
right?
news.
It's all staged. Okay, I have a much funnier story to share with you, especially if you're an apostolic radio listener, right?
Sure.
Some folks might not get joy out of this, but I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. So it's not sacrilegious. It's just stupid. Let me see if I can get it to work here.
Heard the start of it.
Preaching for all.
I'm gonna let it play
start
twice.
It over.
I'm gonna let
my call. Women preaching for all. Don't listen to Saint Paul, cause I can lead the way. My ministry's growing. Excommunication, I'm still glowing. Empty shells were blowing. Where you think the church is going? Hey, I was baptized, and this is great. This is crazy, but God just called me, so ordained a lady. preaching for all. Don't listen to St. Paul, cause I can lead the way. My ministry's growing. Excommunication, I'm still glowing. MDiv, jazz will blowing. Where you think the church is going? Hey, I was baptized.
I played this twice for you so you can get the totality of it. Okay, enough of that.
I wonder
that.
If this is, like, recent or if this is older, because this isn't even a subject anymore. Like, they ordained them, they're done, right?
I don't know. I don't know much
you
about
it. You can get ordained online.
In the Catholic Church?
I don't know about the Catholic Church.
Well, that's what she's saying. And so this lady has took some popular song. I don't know who the original artist is, but this lady has taken some popular song and she has turned it into her campaign to be ordained as a priest in the Catholic Church. Now, I don't know whether Catholic Church ordains women priests or not. You know, I'm ignorant on that. Evidently not, because she's singing this. And, I mean, it's just crazy.
Oh, it's news. It
so you
long.
Know me. So you know me. Like, I can't stop myself when I see something stupid like
that.
Had
to say something.
Oh, I did. I said something. I commented on there. I said, listen, it's my famous line that made people mad in the church, had visitors in the church, and I made this statement. They got mad, left, but she came back and prayed through because she read the Bible, found out I was right. I said, I put on there, I said, Jesus called and sent out 12 apostles, and one of them was a devil, Judas, but none of them were women. So,
and then you put,
Just saying. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. So there is no biblical platform for women in the ministry. I'm talking about preaching in the pulpit. So we may lose listeners over that, but so be it. Anyway,
okay.
We don't. The Bible, I'll say we, the Bible doesn't espouse. Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach. He's not talking about Sunday school. He's talking about preaching. So, All right. Our funds, our donated funds from the big organizations are going to get cut off, right?
All of our huge funds.
All of our huge funds.
Yeah.
All 50 cents of it's going to get cut off. So anyway, thought you would enjoy that. She's trying to get ordained. You got another story?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I already had this conversation with Olivia because she used to work at Subway. But someone came out and broke news that Subway's tuna sandwiches, the tuna is not tuna.
Here we go again. In 1980s, it was McDonald's. They were not serving, they were serving dolphin fish.
Does that make sense to you, though? What?
Yeah, go back and study. You weren't even born. It's 20 years before you were born. Go ahead, finish your story.
No, just they're not serving tuna. Does that make sense
to
you?
Well, what is it? Well, tell me what it is.
I don't know what it is. We sent more than 60 inches worth of Subway tuna sandwiches to a commercial food testing lab to find out. Here's what we found. Maybe I should go find this article again. But does that make sense to you? Like, tuna is literally the cheapest thing you can buy at the store.
Well, here's a question
like
for you. Well, hold on. Here's a question for you. Are they using tuna at the store?
What do you mean?
Well, have you sent any of it off to be tested?
Well, this person did. I'm about to find out.
Oh, from the store or from Subway?
No, from Subway.
So, you know, again, I don't want to go down this path. There's a lot of things we could talk about on here. We don't want to get into the conspiracy corner. But I read an article where it said 80% of what they sell at the store is not what's advertised, and most of it's poison.
Okay.
I'll give you an illustration. Do you like salmon patties?
Yes.
Like made from the store?
Like made
like canned salmon from the store?
Actually, I don't know how mom makes them.
I mean, typically, when I was a kid, my grandma went to the store. She got these cans. It looked like these metal cans, like what you get green beans or corn in, and it had salmon, right? And so she made salmon patties all my life, and I ate them. And then I found out about 10 years ago, it was not salmon. It was mackerel.
I don't know. What's
like
mackerel?
When you fish.
Well, salmon kind of makes more sense. Like, salmon's kind of like a higher-priced seafood fish, right?
Well, I mean,
tuna. Well, tuna's everywhere.
Do you know
tuna?
That? Do you know that?
Yeah. Have you seen the cans at like the grocery store?
Whoa. We're on two different levels here. We're on like the taste of round waffles versus the taste of, okay, listen, Tuna.
Oh, my Lord. Tuna. Salmon and tuna. It's two different things. Don't get she started about taste.
I know they are two different things, but you're saying that it's everywhere.
Like, tuna's more. Yes. Yes. If you go down to Florida and you go to get salmon, it's higher price than what tuna would be.
Okay. But let's circle back, Jen. Okay. You know, they can catch whatever fish they want and put it in there.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's a sport. Like,
oh, you're
catch
an expert on fishing now?
No, but I'm saying, you're like, they can catch whatever. It's not like they throw the line and be like, I'm going to catch a salmon.
Oh, my God. Got a salmon. Folks, this radio
no,
station.
No, you catch whatever's widely always, available.
I know that. That's
so
the point I'm trying.
So tuna is probably more widely available than
you know
salmon.
That? You're
I'm
an
making
expert
an
on that?
I'm making an assumption by the price.
So think about what you're
like
saying.
Like, the higher the price,
think
probably
about what
the
you're
less
saying. This is why this radio show is good, because the older is here to educate the younger, okay? So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You just got through saying if you go to order tuna in a restaurant, it's more expensive than ordering salmon.
No, I meant like if you go to the – I've never ordered tuna because I'm not really a big, huge fan. But if you go to like a fish market, yes, salmon will be more expensive than tuna.
No.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, you can disagree all you want to, but if you go to a restaurant and order a tuna steak, first of all, it's rare to get, and it costs more than a salmon. Salmon has become very popular. But
why?
Here,
the shape of the –
no, you're not
going to
let me finish. It's just typical, okay? Salmon that you eat in the restaurant, a lot of it is not salmon. It's steelhead, which is kind of a
– oh, my Lord. Stay over there. What are you doing?
Here comes the facts, man.
Oh, it's for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Salmon has comparatively more calories and fat, while tuna is richer in protein. Salmon is more expensive and is more likely to be considered a delicacy. Wow, finally, once in my life, the producer's on my side.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're talking about the availability. They can catch any fish and put it in there and call it tuna. If they put a teaspoon of tuna in a can and the rest of it's made up of mackerel.
I feel like if I have my eyes closed and I taste tuna
folks,
or salmon, I could taste a difference.
Is that like saying that if you had your eyes closed and somebody
gave me a heart-shaped waffle.
Cut off a bite from a heart-shaped waffle and a round-shaped waffle, you'd be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay, here we go.
The edges would be round or straight. Because the top part of the heart is too small.
What if they cut from the middle and made it a square?
Then it wouldn't even be a bite. It would just be tiny.
Okay.
I can't read I can't find the article. It wants me to pay. $4.25.
I have a feeling the older you get, the more you're going to realize there's a lot of things in life that claim to be one thing that are
another.
When
I get older, I'm going to realize a lot of things.
Yes, you are.
Period.
We're excited about that day, Whit, when you get older.
I'm glad you are.
We are so excited when you finally
Okay, breaking news.
Okay.
So have you ever heard of a natural swimming pool? Natural swimming pool. Have you ever heard of a natural swimming pool?
Well, I guess not.
Like, what do you think of when I say natural swimming pool?
Like the ocean?
Yeah, or like a lake or a river? No, there's a thing called natural swimming pools.
Okay.
Okay, and they're kissing chlorine and other chemicals goodbye.
Goodbye?
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? Natural swimming pool or kissing chlorine and other chemicals goodbye? If it's natural, why are you using chlorine and other chemicals?
Well, it says they're getting rid of them, in other words.
Okay, then it was just a swimming pool that they're going to let go green.
Correct. Go green. Everybody believes in go
Does
green except when it's your swimming
you?
Pool. No, because it would be an algae-filled mess.
It would be a lake.
Well, correct.
So why have you ever heard of putting chlorine and other chemicals in a lake? Is that a thing?
You could shock a lake. I mean, years ago,
when
they had lakes on the farm, and if it got too much algae, you can throw, I don't know what that stuff's called, but you could shock it, and about 3 days later, all the algae would die. It didn't kill the fish. It just killed the algae and made the water clean. So you can use, like, shock, but you'd have to stay on that. Well, why is that breaking news?
That's not breaking news.
Oh, well, you said breaking news.
Well, it's just my breaking news. I've never heard of a natural swimming pool.
Well,
I mean, if it's a natural swimming pool, it's a lake.
Not if it's in your backyard.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Not big
so they're
to be
in ground pools. Okay. As the second summer of the pandemic approaches, waiting lists for in-ground pools and chlorine shortages are sparking interest in those in these so-called biopools.
Oh, I have it.
Which are chemical-free.
So it's
no chlorine, no problem. This summer, homeowners are trading traditional pools for natural pools, which are chemical-free. No dip, Sherlock. Natural, chemical. You have a lake. Like, don't go around saying, I have a natural swimming pool in my backyard. What do you have?
Can I?
You have a lake.
I guess I can't.
Go ahead.
I guess it's like homeopathic, right? So you're going to go out, you're going to take orange rinds and like homeopathic medicine. You're going to take orange rinds and lemon rinds. You're gonna, when you, all the fruit you eat, you're going to take all the rinds and throw it in the pond.
I mean, this really has to be a stupid person because like an in-ground swimming pool is like $20,000.
Yes.
So you're going to let it go natural? You're going to build a lake in your backyard for $20,000?
Not me.
I've never, ever heard of a natural swimming pool, but I'm actually starting to consider it, honestly.
You are listening to WFAC, your apostolic home for worship and preaching. WFACradio.com.
Are we worshiping or preaching right now?
You're preaching, evidently. We want to remind you that this morning show is brought to you by 74 Ties, 74ties.com, or on Instagram, 74 Ties, the home of the custom knot. And they have Stephen Land and Stacy Adams and some other things, but they will actually take any two ties that you like and custom design it so that one tie is the knot and the other tie is the cravat or the tail of the tie. And I have several, as well as people in our church have several. They're very classy, and you can design your own, or they pre-design some that you can just buy straight out. Also, they have suits and shirts and boys' clothes, shoes and cologne. Whitney's supposed to have the whole
tuxedos,
list.
Tuxedos, ties.
You should have memorized that by now.
I can't. It's like 50 things long.
So this morning show is brought to you by 74 Ties. Visit them online, or if you're in Mount Vernon, Illinois, stop by and see them. They'll take care of you. And if I remember correctly, they've got that Keurig there. So go long enough to get a cup of coffee while you're there. It's good to have coffee anytime, right? Right. You going to read it for us, or are we moving on?
Yeah, sure. Bow ties, cologne, hats, jackets, neckties, shirts, shoes, socks, suits, sunglasses, suspenders, tuxedos, and more.
All right, good. So our friends there stopped by and see them. I want to, it's 8:35, and so I wanted to talk about what I woke up thinking this morning. I wanted to do it at 8:30. I woke up thinking this morning about Ruth and Boaz and the story where it is Ruth chapter number, let's see, chapter 3. One moment here. Mm-hmm. Ruth chapter number 3, the story Ruth comes back with Naomi, which she said, call me no more Naomi, but call me Mara. And I mean, for lack of a better word, but Naomi was trying to get Boaz hooked up with Ruth. And I know people make jokes about this story, but you know how Naomi sent her there and she slept at the edge of the tent. It was not like people act, but she slept at the edge of the tent. And then so Boaz starts falling in love with Ruth. And then when you go on down verse 3, this is in the Amplified because it's what I checked. Ruth went and gleaned in a field after the reapers, and she happened to stop at the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, this is in the Amplified, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was set over the reapers, whose maiden is this? And the servant set over the reapers answered, she's the Moabitish girl who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from early morning until now, except when she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but stay here close by my maidens. Watch which field they reap and follow them. Have I not charged the young men not to molest you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. She fell on her face, and so on and so forth. And so later on in here, verse 15, when she got up to go, she stopped and ate lunch and went back out. When she got up to glean, Boaz ordered his young men, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. Verse 16, and let fall some handfuls for her on purpose, and let them lie there for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, you know, so on and so forth. So there was a law there was a law in the Old Testament. And it would be in Leviticus. I didn't look it up because I just rolled out of bed and this was in my mind. But there was a law in Leviticus where when men had crops in the fields, when they went out to reap, whatever method they used, which is usually by hand, the sickle, they were never supposed to reap the corners of the field. So if that field was an acre large, which I know that's difficult to imagine, but let's just say it's a half a mile by half a mile. All right. They had to leave the corners. Now, I don't know what the width of the corners should be. You know, like if you had this room, if a field was the size of this room, the corners would be about 4 foot across each corner. Yeah. Right. But you take a huge field, which may be a half a mile long, you know, the corner may be 10 feet. Those corners were supposed to be left for the poor folks or people like her. It did not have a man to provide for them.
Right.
Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech, lost Mahlon and Chilion, one of which was Ruth's husband. So the law was that any homeless, any poor, poverty-stricken children could glean in the corners of the field as much as they could carry, and that's how they provided.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I hate to use this word because of the generation we live in, but sort of a welfare system.
Mm-hmm.
It was built into the plan of God. There is a, you know, that would sustain them until they were able to do better. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's Ruth. She's a Moabitish widow. She comes back with Naomi, who Naomi said, "Call me Mara, because God dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, came back empty." And she knows that if she can get Ruth connected with Boaz, then Ruth will have a future. Boaz was a member of Elimelech's family, and Elimelech's name meant God is king. So Naomi had the right idea. She sent him out to glean in Boaz's field because she knew Boaz would be a just man, would allow her, because evidently there were some field owners, will be just like modern times in the modern church, some field owners that would try to shoo them out, or what they say, cut the corners, cut the corners. They didn't you know, cut them back so that there wouldn't be much. They're trying to profit for themselves. And when Boaz saw her, he had compassion. He said, whose maiden is this? You know, I mean, I feel like that was God ordained. He fell in love with her. And so he went to her, he said, "Hey, look, don't glean in any other fields. Just glean here in my field." And so she did. It says she gleaned from morning till dark. What she was doing, she was cutting in the corners.
Mm-hmm.
But she would not be the only one. Others would be cutting in the corners.
Right.
And then it was a long way to the end, a long way to the other end. And this, come on, you know, this was not a full-grown, strong man. This was and she might, as a widow, she might have been her 30s or 40s. Who knows here, right? And so Boaz instructed, he instructed his men that were working for him. He said, "When you're gleaning," and but this hit me so hard this morning, "when you're gleaning, let fall some handfuls of purpose." And I thought, well, what is he trying to say? And so, you know, when you're working in the heat of the day and you're scrambling to get a little bit, you know, there in the corner and there's other people trying to get it, you look down to the other corner of the field, you know, it's a half a mile, you know, or whatever the length of the field was. Man, I'm just not that inspired to go to the other end. It's a long way. But Boaz instructed those men, drop some. And so, you know, if you start to the other end and here's some wheat and there's some wheat and there, then before you know it, you're at the other end because you're still gleaning. And so I thought, man, God knows how to drop purpose, drop what I'm teaching yesterday morning, events or things in your life, because you're going to get tired going from point A to point B. But if you have a purpose, if you have a purpose, like I'm going there, but along the way, I'm going to pick up this, I'm going to pick up that, you know,
incentive.
God in a way spoon feeds incentive. That's the correct word. So basically rewrite that verse or shred it.
Mm-hmm.
He told his reapers, leave some handfuls of incentive on the ground. And so in life, you know, sometimes it's hard to get from being a 15-year-old kid baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost in the church to being a 70-year-old, you know, or been married 50 years or 60 years. But God knows how along the way to leave this and leave that to keep you motivated.
That's good.
You have to have purpose. And we don't always have that purpose. You know, the Bible talked about Daniel, and I don't want to get into that, but he said Daniel purposed in himself not to defile himself with the king's meat. So there is that inner purpose. There is that inner purpose that an individual must have. But That purpose, which we have sometimes, is short-lived. It really is. You got to be honest. It's short-lived. And, you know, I mean, so let's talk about Ruth's purpose. I mean, yeah, she had purpose in herself. She got up early. And with the other poor folks, she went to the field and she was gleaning, you know. But once you've gleaned in the corner and you fought the crowd and you come up with a basket full of wheat or whatever, you know, like, man, I don't know if I can go on the rest of the day. So your self-purpose is going to run out eventually. You can have that. But if God don't do something for you, it's going to run out. God knows how to, right at the right moment, drop this and drop that, so that we will stay focused. And so I like to encourage people that are out there. It's like church yesterday. You can go through the week and, we're going to have church. You know, last Tuesday was the first time we did the Bible study, pre-church Bible study. We had folks on, man. It was exciting, exciting to teach. But as the week wears on, you know, we start struggling. Folks are going to work. Folks are missing church. Folks are sick, whatever, whatever. And then you come to Sunday, and in two services on Sunday, it's like God dropped for us some handfuls of purpose and encourages us all over again to pursue. And I'm not trying to make it cheap. Like, you know, I don't feel like God has to do something for me every day in order for me to serve him. I don't feel like that. In fact, I've said, Lord, if you don't do anything else for me, you know, I'll still love you. And in my heart, I feel that way, but it's ridiculous to think that my human nature can stay that focused because my purpose runs out. But God's mindful of us, and I'm grateful for that. You know, just like going to paint the park on Saturday morning, right? You know, that's exciting. Everybody was there, you know. But when that's done, you know, seeing kids come to church from that, it's like God drops a little handful of purpose.
In the visitors we've had.
Yes, to keep you going. So, okay, that's my morning monologue. That's 10 minutes worth. That should be enough, right? You have any more stories? I've got a song if you don't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, give me 1 second here. To all of our listeners that are faithful with us on these Monday mornings, we're thanking you. We thank you for that. And I know last Monday morning we had technical difficulties. I don't think the last Monday morning show ever made the podcast. Is that correct? Because there were so many technical glitches in it. But we do appreciate you hanging in there. We're not professionals. This is amateur hour.
Yeah.
At best, right? This is amateur hour. This is like our hobby anyway. Okay, here is the group called 33 Miles, and this is a good song. It's just one of those days.
For work again, but it's all right, it's all right. No time for coffee, gotta hit the door, grab a shirt from off the floor. I never noticed it was stained before, but it's all right, it's all right. Oh, but nothing's gonna bring me down, no, not now. It's just one of those days when everything's right. Tell the man that he can wait. Don't get uptight, it's alright. Hold on, there's another call for me. No, I didn't buy a diamond ring. Somebody stole my identity. Hey, it's alright, it's alright. Oh, but nothing's gonna lay me low. Cause I know it's just one of those. Everything's right. God is in his heaven and I'm walking in the light. So hallelujah.
you look at the sky, throw your hands up and you laugh at life. So hallelujah, Lord be praised. So come on, rain, lightning strike, just to try to shake my life. You got no power, you got no hold, cause it is well with my soul. It's just one of those days when everything's bright. God is in his heaven and I'm walking in the light. So hallelujah anyway. It's just one of those.
Listening to WFAC, your apostolic home for worship and preaching, WFACradio.com.
And welcome back to the WFAC Morning Show. We have 10 minutes left to spend here with you. Whitney would like to tell you about a new sandwich that's out.
Okay, so I know this is going to be a big discussion. The LGBT, the lettuce, guacamole, bacon, and tomato.
LGBT. Lettuce, guacamole, bacon, and tomato.
You know your soapbox, like commercialization, big companies that grasp onto everything. Well, June is their month.
Yeah, and they're trying to sell. That's my birthday month, too. That's retarded. They're trying to sell sandwiches, but it's
they're
just,
trying to sell everything.
It's just, it's absurd. It's beyond.
Like, have you walked into Target?
No.
You should see it.
Listen, you know what? I know nobody believes
everything
me.
Has pride there.
No.
The water bottles have pride.
Nobody believes me. If I never go to Walmart again, I'm happy.
Same.
If I never
Walmart.
Go to Target again, I'm happy.
I like Target's clothes.
If I never go to the mall again, I would probably be decent happy. I'm just saying. I mean, you can, and this is wrong too, but most of what I want you can get online or at the local grocery store.
Yeah, also, like, women's clothes is kind of a little bit harder to get than men's clothes. You can get yours from 74
Start
Ties.
Your own. Start your own.
I tried that. It's kind of expensive.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, the whole world's gone stupid. You should read that. Well, no, don't do that. Just leave that. It's true. It's true. You know, I think what is missing, okay, here I'm going to go 10 more minutes. I don't have 10 minutes. I think what's missing in most people is perspective.
Okay.
They only see the world from, and I'm not talking about LGBTQ. God, mm-hmm, immerse, yeah. Okay.
QAI now. They added stuff onto the, you know, the alphabet.
I'm just human.
Same.
You know, so, okay. I think what's missing, even in church people, what's missing is perspective.
Wait a second. You have to explain. You can't just say you're human. That means you're non-binary. I am F, female. Whitney Haas dot F dot female.
Okay.
Okay.
She must, I mean, listen, you should.
Yes, because you have to put your pronouns now after your.
Who said
she,
that?
She, her.
Who said that?
LGBTQIAID.
What is AI?
W?
I mean, can you help me with AI?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about what I was going to talk about because it makes more sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
The world lacks perspective, even church people. We only see things from like a little bitty keyhole. That's all we see. We don't have much view.
IA.
What's IA mean?
It means
And I'm not talking about the LGBTQAI thing. I'm not talking about that.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, which questioning.
I didn't think you're supposed to say that.
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Intersexual, asexual.
Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Okay. They're teaching your kids this in school. You know what I said the other night? This would be a good time. I'm not gonna broach that topic either on the radio. I forget where I'm at sometimes. I just start talking. I'm not gonna talk about all that stuff. That's, you know, I don't mind saying that off the air, like talking in general conversation. But sometimes people read into every little thing that you say, mm-hmm. you know. And God help us going forward. I'll just leave all that. One monologue's enough. God help us going forward to stay focused on the things that matter, and be aware of what's happening in the world. And really, we'll end this morning show right exactly where we started. Rather than making it an individual example, let's make it a collective example. Okay. So we're talking about older people, of which I'm becoming one, and you will someday. You know, the older they get, they do get locked in and focused on, you know, some specific things, and many times they get locked in on the past, mm-hmm. Wanting it to be the way it was, you know, when they were growing up. And I feel that happening to me. I'm not going to lie, but I'm smart enough to know that the era of time I grew up in is not perfect. Okay,
right.
So yes, Andrew Riley gives us all fits for listening to choir music from the 80s and 90s.
Good music.
It is good music. And, you know, then, but my dad likes music from the 60s and 70s, right? And he says that's good music.
Good music.
So everybody has their own particular view on that. And so, you know, it's not a specific genre of time or a specific genre of events, but it's that feeling. What you look for is that feeling of when you were serving God and everything was right.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's not right now. I'm just saying that feeling you got living for God, whatever. And so, you know, the church, the closer we get to the end of time, the church has aged, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe we do need to get locked in on some specifics of a time period, you know, when mm-hmm. everything was good and right. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Given that perspective. You know, another scripture I went to bed thinking last night, what's the cause why you say the former day, and I'm paraphrasing, what's the cause or the reason why you say the former days were better than these? So one guy said, what I remember about the good old days is that there was no air conditioning in the church and, you know, the PA.
But at the time. They may not have thought it was the good days.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
He's saying there's no such thing as the good old days.
Right.
We're not talking about a specific era or genre of time. We're talking about what God did at a specific era or genre of time, and that's what we want.
This is like critical thinking, because it makes me question, like, why not look in the future and be like, the good days ahead.
Correct. The good days are
normally. You know, people refer back
yes.
and say, you
yes.
know, the good old days.
Yes. But what about the good days right now? The good days are not defined by a specific year or a specific time
right.
or a specific person. The good days are defined by what God did or is doing mm-hmm. or will do in those frames of time. And that, I think, sometimes is what we're trying to reach, is that feeling. We think, well, we'll go back
yeah.
and get that feeling. You can have that feeling right now
yeah.
if you realign and reprioritize and put God back at the top of the list and the things of God. But, you know, you get older, you lack energy and you lack purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you lack purpose.
Yeah.
You're not focused on what
sure.
God has laid in the path. You just look at the other end and say, it's too far to go. It's too hard to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then people just, man, they just sit down and quit. And we're, you know, we're seeing a lot of that in the day and time when people just quit. They just
mm-hmm.
quit. You know, it's too far to go. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. Life is too hard. They just quit. And, you know, they want to constantly talk about the old days and this and that
kind
and the
like,
other.
It's kind of like a depressing mindset. Like, everyone's always looking back.
So we can't leave. It's 8:58. We can't leave this on a depressing note. What is the answer? You have to have an answer. Because if you don't have an answer, you just leave it right there on a depressing note.
What's the answer? answer?
Well, the answer is put your focus on God, mm-hmm. not on a specific moment in time. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
God is just as powerful today as he ever was. He's working in the church just as much today as he ever has. Right? So rather than focus on, because our minds tend to do that, mm-hmm. you know, they tend to go back and focus on specific moments in time and think that that day was better than this because it's too far to go to the end of the field. You know, there is another thing that God wants to do. There is another thing mm-hmm. that God is doing. It's just like, you know, the outreach or reaching for souls. I mean, is God done saving people? God's not done saving people. And I'm not even talking about people from the world. I'm talking about people right in the church. God's not done saving people. Mm-hmm. God's still working now. God's living in the now. He's not living in the past or in the future. He's living in the now. He's working right now. And like I was teaching yesterday morning, we're on the clock. Mm-hmm. We're on the clock. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When you wake up and you realize you're breathing, it's time to give God praise. It's time to live in the moment. My mother texts me while I'm sitting here, reminding me what I preached in Cincinnati. Enjoy the moment. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the right now. God is moving right now, working right now. So it's not too far to go to the end of the field if God's working right here and right now. Mm-hmm. We're out of time. 8:59, the bell's going to ring any minute. We appreciate you. Join us next Monday, good Lord willing. We may not be live, but we'll have something for you on next Monday. And visit 74 Ties and invite your friends and family. Stay tuned. We have great things upcoming in the radio station. We're out of here.